order.
From the House this week, new rules for swimming pools and launching pads for space rockets, and eulogies for trade union leader Helen Kelly and King Bhumibol Adulyadej of Thailand.
Mr. Speaker, King Pinnapon was the world's longest serving monarch, and he made an extraordinary contribution to Thailand and the region during his reign. He presided over a period of transformative growth and development.
The Prime Minister, John Key, who led the tributes on Wednesday with the Greens Foreign Affairs spokesman, Kennedy Graham, recalling the time that he'd met the King.
It was on the occasion of the presentation of the credentials of our ambassador. I was in humble and obedient attendance. We were required to walk into the chamber 3 paces, bow, move to the right 3 paces, bow, then move forward to meet His Majesty. The challenge, to put it mildly, was that we were required to walk backwards on withdrawing, since it is not permitted to turn one's back on the King. And we so nearly got it right.
On Tuesday, tributes to Helen Kelly, trade union leader and former president of the Council of Trade Unions, were led by opposition leader Andrew Little.
Mr. Speaker, Helen Kelly did not see herself as a hero. She was a champion, an advocate, an agitator. She epitomised the best of New Zealand values. When she saw others in need, she offered to help. When she saw injustice, she strove to correct it. When she saw the opportunity to fight for progressive ideals, she climbed in, boots and all, uncompromisingly, relentlessly, and with one goal: to make positive change.
Andrew Little's tribute to Helen Kelly was followed by one from the Prime Minister.
Speaker, Helen Kelly didn't come from my side of the political fence. There were on many occasions that I simply didn't agree with her, not the least of being actually her disagreement with the government's view that the law should be changed in relation to the definition of a contractor, so movies like The Hobbits could be made in New Zealand. Mr. Speaker, sometimes the forceful way that Helen Kelly made her arguments frustrated me. But she also had my enormous respect. She was passionate, she was tenacious, she was articulate, she was intelligent, and she was pragmatic.
Joining Nationals leader and mourning the death of Helen Kelly was the New Zealand First Party's Winston Peters.
Those New Zealanders who've had the opportunity to witness the work and life of Helen Kelly over a great number of years would celebrate the fact that she was a standout New Zealander, a person of true character, of honesty and integrity. Clearly she put her cause and the people she served before herself, and in doing so enhanced the respect for the union movement in this country, and indeed it could be said to have in her interactions put unionism on a new level. We were a better country for witnessing her professional life, and a lesser country for her departure.
New Zealand First Party leader Winston Peters, who, as Rhys Lyon now reports, proceeded to open up entirely new horizons in the art of self-promotion in the debating chamber the next day.
Wednesday was a members' day where opposition MPs and government backbenchers get the chance to debate bills in their names. The Land Transfer Foreign Ownership of Land Register Amendment Bill, in the name of the New Zealand First Leader, is sitting at number 7 on the members' order paper, far enough down that it was never going to come up for debate on Wednesday night. And with only 2 members' days likely remaining in 2016, it may not get to be debated by the end of the year. Mr. Peters' New Zealand First colleagues, though, used provisions allowing for questions to members in charge of bills to put a series of questions to their party leader at the end of question time on Wednesday.
My question is to the member responsible for the Land Transfer Foreign Ownership of Land Register Amendment Bill.
To the member responsible for the Land Transfer Foreign Ownership.
My question is to the member responsible for the Land Transfer.
To the member responsible for the Land Transfer.
We move now to the final question to the member. Question number 6, Richard Prosser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Before answering the questions from his party colleagues, Mr. Peters sought to judge their quality.
Very insightful question.
The Honourable.
That's an excellent question. Very good.
Somewhere in there, Mr. Peters did outline the intent of the bill.
Mr. Speaker, there is currently, under this administration, no easy or accurate way to measure the amount of land under the control of foreign nationals. This is due to the fact that, unlike in other jurisdictions, there is no official database of foreign ownership in New Zealand. And that's what this bill is going to fix up.
New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters. Later on Wednesday, a bill seeking to abolish charter or partnership schools in the name of Labour MP Chris Hipkins came up for its first reading just after 9 p.m. With Mr. Hipkins not available to introduce the Education Charter Schools Abolition Amendment Bill, that job fell to his Labour colleague, Jenny Salesa, who began with an explanation as to Mr. Hipkins' absence.
And I'd like to acknowledge and congratulate Mr. Chris Hipkins and Jade for the birth of their new baby earlier on this evening, as well as all the work that he has put in to this bill. Charter schools, Mr. Speaker, are a blight on our educational system. They bring nothing to the table that cannot be offered through our existing education system. I welcome this bill, which would abolish the charter school model.
And while that debate was interrupted when MPs adjourned for the night at 10 p.m. on Wednesday, earlier in the evening, a bill in the name of National's Chris Bishop, the Financial Assistance for Live Organ Donors Bill, passed its second reading unopposed. Earlier, the Papua and Kaiko Kirikiri Trusts Amendment Bill, a private bill in the name of National's Alistair Scott, completed its committee stage.
Rhys Lyon will be back later in the program with news from the committee rooms, while debate on government bills began on Tuesday with this from the Minister for Science and Innovation, Stephen Joyce.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Outer Space and High Altitude Activities Bill be now read a first time.
Mr. Joyce explained why the government was keen on space exploration.
The emerging New Zealand space industry aligns with the innovation stream of the government's business growth agenda in developing New Zealand as a hub for high-value research and development intensive businesses. Mr. Speaker, we've never had so many opportunities to create and sell high-quality products and services around the world.
After seeing his bill off to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee, which will be taking submissions on it up until Thursday, December the 1st, Mr. Joyce was back in the chamber on Thursday to answer a question from one of his own backbenchers addressed to the Finance Minister, asking Mr. English if he'd seen any reports about the diversification of the New Zealand economy.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Finance, I've seen a number of reports, including as recently as last night when the Technology Investment Network report was launched by the Minister of Science and Innovation.
Stephen Joyce.
The report shows New Zealand's leading 200 high-tech companies have now reached combined annual revenues of $9.4 billion, up 12%, or nearly $1 billion in just 1 year.
Very good.
The Minister for Science and Innovation, Stephen Joyce, answering questions about a report from his own ministry on behalf of Finance Minister Bill English, who also faced this question on Thursday from Winston Peters.
What justification or excuse does he have to cancel a meeting scheduled with two prominent Hong Kong pro-democracy figures this week?
That question was answered for Mr. English by his immediate junior, the third-ranked Cabinet Minister, Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Deputy Prime Minister, ministers from time to time, after considering advice, will decide not to progress previously scheduled meetings.
Mr. Brownlee continued to stonewall, even after the New Zealand First Party leader pointed out that the two pro-democracy leaders had been invited to meet the American Vice President, Joe Biden, and Australia's Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop.
Why weren't national ministers prepared to meet with them?
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Deputy Prime Minister, I have no responsibility for the diaries of other foreign ministers.
Well, that's a slack answer. Supplementary question.
Order. Order.
Just and, dreadful.
And the member's perfectly entitled to that opinion, but he doesn't need to share it with
fair
the
enough,
House.
Fair enough, Mr. Speaker.
The Speaker, David Carter, made no attempt to hide his opinion of the answer that the Minister of Health, Jonathan Coleman, gave to a question from his Labour shadow, Annette King.
Of course, there will always be a debate about what the right level of resourcing is. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything for Mrs. King to do in Parliament. However, I'm well acquainted with that member's
order.
Gloomy...
Yep. And order.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker. Well, that's unnecessary, isn't it?
No, it's certainly not necessary. It's an answer that doesn't help the order of the House. But in itself, order, in itself, it's not unparliamentary. There are no rules I can deal with. I'll deal with it another way.
Mr Carter didn't elaborate on that, but it wasn't long before he was asked to discipline Mr Coleman again, this time for his answer to this question from Labour's Sue Moroney.
Well, is there a link then between more than 1,000 resident doctors reporting being so fatigued they were worried about that clinical mistakes had been made and this massive increase in treatment injuries under his watch?
The Honourable Dr Jonathan Coleman.
No more so than there's a link between the record majorities that members enjoy in every seat that Sue Moroney stands in.
Order. That doesn't even attempt to address the question. Would the Minister now address the question?
Well, I said no.
Order. The public of New Zealand will judge the Minister's answer for themselves.
Further along, the government's front bench ACT MP, David Seymour, was too quick off the mark for one of Mr Carter's assistant speakers, Trevor Mallard.
The question is that the motion be agreed to.
Well,
Mr Seymour, you might like to wait until you've been called.
Well, thank you, Mr Speaker.
Well, Mr Seymour, you have been giving your views quite long and loud. I didn't intervene, but I think you could follow the formalities of the House and seek a call.
Mr Speaker.
David Seymour.
Thank you, Mr Speaker.
Thank you, Mr Seymour. And now it's back to Rhys Lyon and the committee rooms.
On Wednesday, medical experts briefed the Health Committee on progress in monitoring and treating prostate cancer. The chairman of the Prostate Cancer Working Group, Professor John Nacy, told committee members about the group's development of a guidance program for specialists on active guidance.
The importance of this is that for prostate cancer, there has been a lot of criticism of men being tested because if they are found to have prostate cancer, then invariably they will end up having what we describe as a curative treatment. So it's either radiation therapy or maybe they'll have their prostate removed surgically. The problem with this is that there is always the potential for adverse effects, and therefore men have a major impact on their quality of life. So active surveillance is designed to manage men with early prostate cancer that is not aggressive and is highly unlikely to cause any injury to them in their remaining lifespan. So basically, it is a program put in place to monitor them, just to make sure that their known cancer is not progressing.
Chairman of the Prostate Cancer Working Group, Professor John Nacy, with that briefing to the Health Committee on Wednesday. The following day, the Primary Production Committee heard submissions on the Food Safety Reform Bill, including one from the Soil and Health Association, whose policy advisor, Misha Davis, called for mandatory country of origin labelling on food.
And we are disappointed that MPI and successive governments have continually blocked mandatory country of origin labelling. Country of origin labelling can be very important for a country's reputation. For example, we know that employment conditions vary between countries and support for different countries can play into people's food purchasing decisions.
Ms Davis also called for more detailed labelling on food products.
We consider that genetic engineering, pesticide residues, and food irradiation are all food safety issues worthy of being addressed through transparent food labelling laws and regulations in New Zealand. Transparent food labelling is fundamental in allowing people to make informed choices about which foods are safe and nutritious.
That point was picked up by Mr Davis's Soil and Health Association colleague, Dr Alison White.
Consumers, and especially parents, tend to make precautionary decisions. So if a thing looks as if it might be unsafe, then the consumers and especially parents will tend to err on the side of precaution and avoid that.
Dr. White said that was a much different approach than that taken by food authorities.
For various reasons, regulatory authorities tend to follow the reactionary principle. In other words, show us the dead bodies lined up and then we'll do something about it.
Soil and Health's Dr. Alison White with that submission on the Food Safety Reform Bill, which is due to be reported back from the Primary Production Committee by February the 16th next year. In total, there were 18 committee meetings held during the week.
Back in the chamber on Thursday, the House passed the Building Pools Amendment Bill and the Education Legislation Bill and agreed to the appointment of Alicia Wright as the Chief Electoral Officer and Christy McDonald as the Deputy Chair of the Electoral Commission. Finally, Thursday's business statement from the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, was followed by this one from Labour's Grant Robertson.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the Leader of the House for that, and I'm sure he would want to join me in congratulating his shadow Leader of the House on the birth of his first child, Charlie Douglas Hipkins, another feisty redhead in the Upper Hutt born yesterday, and we wish Chris and Jade all the very best.
Labour's Grant Robertson, I'm Tom Fruin, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.